going to camp out there, Sammy. I was just going to go keep it rolling, you know, but then my daughter got up and, you know, I'm a dad and she gets away with it. So she just kind of get up. She's not even supposed to have gotten up this, no, that's not true. And
she was great.
She was great. Hey, we should keep her. She's so funny. She's got the passion of a dad and some other of dads not so great, right? I take full responsibility. And but she's also got the grace of a mother, which is awesome. And, you know, so it's pretty good. I kind of like you, Rach. You are my favorite daughter, darling. Just, I want to go on record to say that. Better than all the others. We've been doing a series called Secret Place Power. And I don't know about you, but I kind of really have liked this. This has messed me up a little on the inside because I haven't just kind of spoken it once and then moved on. I've located myself in the pages of the Bible. And so I've just kind of created a bit of space today for the Holy Spirit to do some stuff in all of us. And we're going to go on a journey and I don't even know where we're going to end up. But I know that we will end up in the secret place. Amen. And so how what that looks like is very different for all of us. But we had a key verse from Psalm 91, let me put it up on the screen for you. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust." And the thing I kind of jumped off on my page is that the very last thing that David lands on is his ability to trust God. And you know, he doesn't just trust Him because He is God. And I think that's wonderful because that's the truth. Because you don't trust people that you don't have relationship with. If you don't know them, you're not just going to trust them. Can you imagine, Chris, that you're, you know, kind of busy and you're just randomly out in a park somewhere and then, you know, you're thinking, you know what, I'm hungry. So you're just going to hand baby Reuben over to this man who's probably living in the park and just go, "Hey, can you look after my baby for a half an hour? I'm going to go get something to eat, and I might watch a movie." Do you think you would ever do that?
No.
like, you kind of go, and I kind of run through, is there ever a scenario that I would do that? I can't even think of a scenario. No matter what the scenario was, if it's life and death, that other person would die before I entrusted my baby into the hands of a stranger, because that's my responsibility. Yeah. And trust is built through relationship. And what I love is this these two verses are very progressive in the way that we do our walk with God. That we reach a place of really trusting God. Proverbs says that trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, I love this, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. So in other words, again, it's a progressive relationship thing. I just begin to see this thematically through every part of the Word of God that I studied in the last, you know, probably month or so. And it ends with trust, and it starts with He who dwells. Yeah. So we can't visit God for a quick cup of tea and think that we're going to trust God with our very lives. Wow. That there is this process that we want to end in trust, but trust is built through relationship. Yeah. And relationship takes time and effort. And sometimes we get too busy in our world that we don't have and take the time to build that relationship deep enough. And we kind of look at this, and I like this. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress. So in other words, God is protecting him, and he creates a stronghold and a place where he can sit back and go, woo! You know, the psalmist says in another spot, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So even though He hasn't necessarily taken me out of the situation that I'm in, I have no fear, I'm fed and protected. And if not, it's almost like rubbing it in their face. Look at me having my meal right in front of you. You know, and God is taking kind of care of you right in the middle of that. But all of it comes back to, again, we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And then He says, when you take that step to know what it is to dwell, He said, that's a place that you learn to abide. In other words, I believe that you can literally reach a place in your Christian walk where you find yourself so close to the presence and the grace of God that you no longer have to run anymore. I believe that is possible. I don't believe the pursuit of your Christian walk is always trying to obtain something which cannot be obtained. You know, like Paul said, not that I've already attained, but he wasn't talking about attaining the relationship with God. He said, my greatest desire is to know him. To be so close to God that we think the same. Because we spent so much time together. You know, when you spend a lot of time in and around my world, you'll get to see how I live and how I think. And you know, Pastor Gray and Pastor Mel have kind of noticed that I may be known as an external processor. So, you know, my private world is really kind of not that private. I kind of like live it out there, you know, for the world to see. But the closer and the more time that they spent with me, the way that they see the way that I do my life. And they go, okay, wow, it's not hard to figure Rick out because he's an open book. And I believe that a life with Jesus is very much the same. That he wants it to be discoverable. And he says, if you would just come aside with me, if you come and dwell with me in this place, we'll discover some things together and it'll be a wonderful journey of discovery. So we talked, remember, the first week about run and where do we run? And kind of the premise behind that is we all tend to run at times. And the question is not whether you run or not. The question is where, you know, do you run in or do you run away? Do you run back to God or do you run from God? You know, are you Jonah running, you know, from the call and the promise of God out to another place and God's going to kind of swallow you up and get in and around your world so that you can come back to where God wants you to be? If I'm going to run anywhere, I'd rather run to him. Amen. And we landed on, remember, I think it was 1 Samuel 30 where David strengthened himself in the Lord. When everybody else was kind of running away, jumping to conclusions, carrying on, David began to go, no, I'm going to run and find my security in Christ and in God. And in that place of brokenness, he found a richness of relationship. Don't allow a moment of brokenness to define your relationship with God. Amen. That sometimes even in the midst of the greatest tragedies of your world, you'll discover the greatest intimacy with the Father. And often we try to spend a lot of our energy in our world trying to never have any issues, never have any conflict, never have any problem. Isn't that right, Pastor Jen? That's your perfect life. It's just everybody's happy with you. Everybody loves you. You're not upsetting anybody. Can you believe that anybody would ever be upset with Pastor Jenny? I mean, it's hard to believe, but they do. And I laugh. Because she needs to find a place and a peace with God, even in the midst of the storms of life. Because we can't control the storm, but we can control where we are. That the storm may be around us, but it doesn't have to be in us. That the situation may try to overwhelm us, but greater is he that's within us than he that's in this world. And then we talked about that last week, and Pastor Mel brought forth a word which was really great because it kind of alludes to the fact that the way that we do our Christian walk is not all the same. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Because you kind of thought that if you only prayed for 4 minutes, but Pastor Rick is praying for 5 minutes, that's why he's more holy. Because you look and you go, no, I'm more holy because I need more grace than probably you do. So God pours out his grace on me because he knows without his grace, I am such a moral bankrupt. I'm so broken and lost that I can't even draw a breath without his grace. But you're going, but I don't hear from God. And he goes, that's because he knows you'll be disciplined and consistent for a good week. But Pastor Rick can't wait even 5 minutes. It's like, you're right there, Holy Spirit. Yes, I am. It's okay. You know, just keeping on that. You know, and the way that we even connect and worship with God is different. Have you ever seen different people worshiping God? You know, and some people are very expressive, and I'm kind of like expressive. I try to just calm myself down because I don't like the sweaty armpit look and when I get up to speak. But other people just worship God like this. And you're not sure if they're, you know, entering in or sleeping in. But it doesn't, you know, it's all the different ways that we do it. And I wrote a couple down. Maybe you know you're one of these, a naturalist. What I love about being a naturalist is we discovered it doesn't mean that you're a vegan and just hug trees. I thought that's what it meant, but it's not. It's a lot more to that. Traditionalists, activists, caregivers, intellectuals. And the other thing, you may be an intellectual. It doesn't mean that you've got a double degree in biochemistry. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just the way that you connect with God. And that there's no kind of wrong or right way. There's just the door, and that his name is Jesus. And then your uniqueness comes to play, because guess what? He made you the way that you are. He wants you to be different. He wants you to express your walk with God different. We're not all clones, we're all creation. That we were created in the image of an unobtainable understanding of a God whose ways are much higher than our ways. And so when we begin to celebrate the diversity in the body of Christ, we begin to get glimpses of the face of God that we never before had seen. And that's you. And I think that's wonderful. That's why for me, I love the body of Christ, because of the diversity of the body of Christ just shows me the depth of the love of God. And that He creates us in His image. And next week, Pastor Gray is going to be landing this thing and running a panel, literally exploring how different people do relate to God. So you'll be able to see how different people kind of connect in their walk with God. And you'll be able to go, hey, that's a lot like me, or I don't do any of that. And all of that's kind of okay, and for you to discover on your journey. And that's what you'll come away with that. You'll be able to go, hey, wow, I don't have to do it like that. I can do it like this. And I think that's going to be absolutely wonderful. But today I want to just spend a few moments talking about the battleground of the quiet place. The battleground of the quiet place. And it seems like almost a paradox or an oxymoron to say the battleground of the quiet place. But I've discovered something over the years, and I think it was Mark Gungor who talked about the nothing box, men. You know how men have a nothing box? And it's wonderful. And since that, I've got a PhD in the nothing box philosophy. And I've taken the box out and I've turned it into an entire way of life. So in other words, I can go for days without not thinking, which is quite an accomplishment. If you're a lady, you don't even believe, you know, Jen still doesn't even believe it to this day that we can be thinking about, what are you thinking? Nothing. And she goes, yeah, but there's a look on your face. No, my face is disconnected from my world. In fact, if breathing wasn't automatic, I would have died and I wouldn't have noticed. So, and if you don't believe that's true, because some of you guys do this, yeah. Have you ever been driving and you turn up at the where you're going and then you go, oh my goodness, I don't remember getting here. And you're kind of going, was there traffic lights? Was there traffic? And you're like, you are so disconnected from the, isn't that true? And we can do this with ease. You know, once you've done your job for a little bit, sometimes too, you might just be able to smash it out there. And you've been, you know, Darren, you've been making all these burgers down at 12 Ball for the glory of God. And, you know, I know I love this man. Don't you get up him if you're a vegan. He's helping you out. He's taking out the competition. And then you're going, I don't even remember what the last three orders were. And they're gone out and the customers are smiling. So I guess, but he's just, because it's so automatic, you know. And here's what this is what I've discovered. Then I go to pray and my mind jumps into overdrive. Not just with silly stuff, it's important lists. It's things that you've got to do. And when I was blissfully unaware living in my quiet, you know, normal nothing box space, now that I'm trying to find the secret place of God, suddenly all this stuff bombards me and I realize something, that is not normal. That's a battleground. That if that's how you normally live, if your mind is always full, and there are some people who just carry along these big full minds all the time, while you're walking like that, my head's heavy. But for a lot of us, we walk around like this because our head's light. But the reality is, if you know, in that moment when you go to pray and it begins to be an onslaught, you know it's a battleground. So just very practically, what I do is I have a notebook or I have my iPad or phone with me now, and I write those things down because they are generally important. And then I thank the devil for bringing them to my attention that I could deal with them later. Because he wanted to distract me from the moment, but I just write it down and move on. And then I give my mind permission to let that one go. And he'll keep going. So you know what I've learned? I've learned that the devil understands how pig-headed I can be and stubborn. So I continue to pray until he stops. And sometimes that's been over an hour. But generally, you know what I find now? He doesn't really attack me anymore because he's just going to keep praying. So he attacks me for 6 hours. Guess what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be praying for 6 hours. So bring it on, red man with horn. Think you're brave wearing spandex. I wear lycra. I should write some of these down. These are great. Jen's shaking her head. She don't think they're great at all. So there's this battleground going on in the quiet place. And so I realize that this is not the way that God wants us to be. Because we live in a busy, crazy, noisy world. Isn't that true? And then the verse that we just read, the key verse that we just read before, he who dwells in the secret place, he who dwells will abide. He who dwells will abide. We don't dwell anymore. We just move on. Quick life, quick prayers, quick devotions. Everything is fast, 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 fast. But to dwell means literally to sit down in silence and remain. That's what it means to dwell. I can't even imagine sitting down. You know, I once tried, I remember watching a preacher by the name of Andy Stanley, who's great. I really love his stuff. And he preaches a lot sitting on a stool. I tried that. What a waste of a prop. Because the stool just stood there and I'm like doing, hey, preaching. Can't, you know, like, can't do it. It's very difficult. But to dwell is to sit down in silence and remain. You know, sometimes I think our greatest prayer times are when we stop talking. Because we want to hear from God, but we're so busy telling God everything, which is funny because he already knows. But what if we just sat there in silence and remained? Oh, how, you know, how good would that be? How weird would that be? What, I'm praying. You're not saying, I know. I'm just dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I'm literally creating a space for God to talk. And maybe the first few times it might be incredibly awkward, but I can tell you this, it's not working anyway. Doing it the other way. Kind of a takeaway God doesn't kind of work.
Yeah.
Fast food Jesus doesn't really work. He wants us to build a relationship with him, and that just requires time in our lives and allowing this. And why is this so important? Because the promise, he is our refuge and our fortress, is premised by the premise. Yeah. Wrong wording. But the promise always has a premise. So in other words, if we want to celebrate that God is around us looking after us and he's our fortress and we can trust in him, then we need the premise, which is we dwell in his presence and we abide there. We find ourselves under his shadow, under his covering, within his protection. The power of the secret place doesn't come from information, but by revelation. The power of that secret place that we connect in with God isn't because you've just got a whole new verse and you discovered something. It's literally in the presence of God and you don't understand what it is, but something happens. It's that moment when you came in and you didn't believe, but then you sat through that service and the person at the front began to preach Jesus and you couldn't explain it, but something began to happen on the inside of your heart and maybe you couldn't articulate it, but before the end of the service, you found yourself putting your hand up and next thing you remember, you were giving your life to Jesus that you hadn't even really met and they're just going, I'm going to do the introduction for you, and then you're like suddenly on this journey and you're going, I don't even know how I get there, I can't explain it, but I can tell you something, it changed my life. I met Jesus, he changed my life. I didn't need a verse. I didn't have to articulate it with my intellect. I met Jesus. I couldn't explain it, but I couldn't deny it. It didn't fit into my ability to articulate it really clever, but there was no mistaking I felt it. Wow, I don't know, you know, whether that stuff works. But I came out the front one time. Maybe you were like me too, and I was believing God for something. And I sat there praying. And it was like weird. It was weird. Electricity through my body. And then people say, how can people fall down in church when they pray for themselves? Have you ever seen people fall down in church? I've got some great theology because they can't stand up. That's why they fall down. Either that or they're very sleepy. But you know, I had the same thing for me. I never forget. I was on a youth camp. And we were in an auditorium, and it was a concrete floor. And I went up the front because I didn't even know why I was up the front, but I went up the front. And I was praying for something and believing for, I think it was direction in my life, and for God to come in. And they prayed for me. And then the same thing, like weird electricity, right? And people go, well, what is it? It's the presence of God. How do you know? You just know. Because it's not natural. People go, that's not normal. I know it's not normal. It's supernatural.
Right.
So I got prayed for, and I went down under the Spirit. And what was crazy is I kind of came to after a little while, and all these people were crowding around me, and I thought it's because they saw the glory. You know, I'm like on the ground, and it's the glory radiating out of my life, and my wonderful hair flowing, because I had hair back then. But it wasn't. It was because when they prayed for me, they said I went straight back, and the first thing to hit the ground was my head. And it sounded like a cannonball, or like a gun going off. Crack! And they thought, my God, he's cracked his head open, and now he's dead. They're all rushing forward, and they're all praying for me. I thought they were just continuing the prayer. I got up, I didn't even have a bruise. And I argued with them, because I said, no. I felt four hands on my back lower me gently down. Wow. You're mistaken. See, I can't explain that. But you will never convince me it didn't happen, because it happened to me. Jesus came into my life. You know, when you have those moments and you go, well, I've never had that, then seek out the secret place. I'll never forget one time. Listen, I'm working for Pizza Hut. And I'm trying to, you know, get my life excited about delivering pizzas for the glory of God. And I remember being involved in this little thing called the Pensacola Revival. Remember that? And it was all the weird stuff going on there as well, you know. And whenever there's tambourines, it's weird. Tambourines, flags, laughing. And I'm going along. I went to a few of these meetings. Nothing. Felt nothing. And I'll never forget it. I was down in Logan City. I was crossing over the highway because you used to be able to drive across the highway there from Daisy Hill across into the Rochdale area where our store was. And I just was praying and I said, God, I know I don't need to, and I know I shouldn't because we walk by faith. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But I just want to feel your presence. And I said, you know, all these people just praying more, Lord, more. You know. I wanted it. You know, I'd been drunk before. I want the drunk without the hangover. You know, I'm kind of like, sign me up. Can I have a drink of the Holy Spirit? Double shot. No, hold the ice. Straight up Holy Spirit. I got pizzas in the back. And the Holy Spirit comes into the car and I felt it. I was like, uh-oh. And all I could explain, and you can replicate this today, go down to the beach, one of the most violent beaches you can, and lay down with your head pointing towards the water and allow the waves to smash over your head and push you up the beach, drag you back, and feel the force of those waves coming on you. The Holy Spirit just would enter. I'd feel it like smack into my head, flow through my body and out the bottom of my car. I was freaking out so much, I pulled my handbrake on and put it in neutral because I thought, I'm going to die. And the presence of God, and then I'm going, this is my prayer. No more, Lord. No more. For the love of God. As the presence of God just hit me. It's a secret place. And I can't explain it. Like, you know, I can't really find it in a chapter verse, but you'll never convince me it didn't happen.
Come on.
Because that's when we dwell in that place. Something begins to shift in our heart. And everything that I cared about, you know, when you get into that place with God, you ever done that? You ever spend enough time in God and you started praying about all this big long list? You ever done a prayer list? You know, maybe like a page or two, a few things you want to let God know. Mm-hmm. And then you get into his presence and then this horrible thing happens. You don't care about your list and you actually forgot to pray for Auntie Mary and she's going to hate you. Did you pray for me today? Because you got in his presence and suddenly you didn't care about all that stuff. You were looking for a job and you know you need a job, but in his presence you found a fullness of joy and you didn't even care about it anymore.
Right.
And didn't solve anything, but it changed everything.
Wow.
Do you see that? Now when you get into that secret place with God, it'll change everything. And church, let me tell you, that's what he wants for you. He doesn't want religion for you. He doesn't just want you to, listen, this is not about positivity and thinking right in the universe, attract it and brings it to you. It's about a loving Father who's leaning forward going, come under my shadow.
Yes.
and I will be here with you. It's not esoteric, it's very real. The wonderful thing I love about Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he called Thomas forward and he said, touch me. Touch me, Thomas. I'm a touchable God. I will meet you at your place of fear, of brokenness, if you are just willing to come into my presence. But we live in a very busy, crazy, noisy world. And what you've got to understand is my one note for today. So if you're taking notes, this is it. Distractions disable destinies. Distractions will disable your destiny. And this was coming from understanding the teaching of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, where he says, but you, when you pray, this is what I want you to do. Go into your room. When you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. What God is saying is that there must be moments of seclusion in your life where you come away and you realize that all these other things, as important as they are, just that your family is and can be at times just a distraction. That job that's so important, am I saying you don't need to have a job? But don't be ridiculous. Of course you do. He who doesn't work doesn't eat. That's what the Bible says. You know, we don't sit back on our fat, blessed assurance and wait for the provision of God. He gives us the ability to create wealth. But that in the midst of that, the answer is not found in the activity. The answer is found in the surrender to him in that secret place. And these things can be distractions in our world, and they can't define the way that we live. There must be moments of seclusion to refocus and refuel, to renew and revitalize, to reflect and refresh. And we see in through the life of Jesus this wonderful, picture of how to live our lives. That there were moments when Jesus was totally present in the crowd and totally hands on deck. In fact, do you remember when he fed the 5,000 men plus and he sent the disciples away? He said, hey, you guys go. And he hung back and cleaned up. Jesus was on the vacuum cleaner out in the hills, picking up all the stuff, making sure, anybody, little Johnny here? Anybody missing a son? Or you want a son? Here's a son here. Take him. You know, just making sure everybody kind of got off. He packed it all up. He was very, very present in those moments of engagement. But then there were the other times when he slipped away into the mountains, spent time with his Father in seclusion, totally away from the distractions of this world and the pressure in and around his life. It's not a call to a monastic lifestyle where we just, you know, live in seclusion and intercession, or the opposite, a call for a radical life poured out on the altitude of serving others until we burn up or burn out. No, it's not either or, it's the power of the end. That we are responsible how we walk through life. The Bible says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So that means if you're waiting, he's not directing. But when you take that step, you'll hear the voice of God. Sometimes you've just got to begin to do it and go, well, I'm going to position myself where I can hear. I'm going to begin to do. You know, people go, well, how do you know the will of God for your life? Just start serving. Yeah. Don't not serve. Just whatever your hands find to do, just do it. And then when you're finding that you're getting too busy, have a break. I know it's so difficult to understand, isn't it? Complicated. You know, if you're tired, rest. If you're finding that you're burning out, then press in into his glory. And maybe you can't even pray, then put some praise and worship on and allow the Holy Spirit to come and meet you in that secret place. You will find that times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. That's what the Bible said. But the premise of that scripture is repent. So in other words, and repent doesn't mean that you're living as a life of a sinner. Repent could be that you're just trying to prove yourself and your identity in what you do, not who you are. Or even more, whose you are. Because sometimes it's not about all of those things. Because I love what Jesse DePlanter said this years ago. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And so we get busy. And busy thinking that we're doing all the things that God has called us to do. He goes, I didn't tell you to do any of those things. But you just got busy. And now you're so busy, you're not able to get away in that quiet place anymore. Your life has got too busy for me. So the fight then is in our mind. That's the battleground that we have. The fight is not about, you know, the people stirring you up on Facebook and You know, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I always think about that. You know, you've only got so many pieces. The more you give away, the less mind you have. Don't give them a piece of your mind. Let it go. It's simply a distraction and not the real fight. That's what you got to realize. The real fight is to quiet your spirit and bring it under dominion. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And the more that we fight in the natural, the less connection we have to the spiritual. And the greatest tragedy, I believe, in the Christian church is a church that no longer connects with the Spirit of God. That we get so clever and we kind of turn this beautiful, wonderful book in this written word of God into an instruction manual and how to live out the best life. But I don't believe it. I think it's more a diary that he invites us to engage in. And there's great principles in here. You know that. I preach the principles all the time. But it's not the information that'll bring transformation. It's the revelation by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because if it was the information, then the devil would be saved, and he's not. Because he knows the Bible better than you. He was bold enough to quote the word to the word himself. That's kind of messed up. So the information is never going to change your world or your circumstances. It's that battleground that you have to find yourself pressing into the presence of God. I believe every battle is first a prayer battle. I believe every victory will first be a prayer victory. That when you come to him and you literally live your life in this robust back and forth relationship. I'll never forget many years ago I had, you know, what was really kind of like a panic attack starting. And the way it happened for me, I was in the workplace at the time, and I'm not even visualistic, but I literally felt like a big black wave curling over my head. And I've been in the ocean enough. You ever been in those big dumpers? And you're like, uh-oh, I'm going down underwater. I'm going to turn into a washing machine, not sure which. So I literally was like that, but it was black. And I could see it coming down over my head and hardly any light. And I remember my lightning fast intellect kicking in and going, this is not normal. And I was like, okay, I'm in trouble here. And my pulse rate went up. My heart rate was shooting through. I started to shake. And so I jumped in my car and I drove down to the shops. And we weren't too far from the Hyperdome, down at Logan Hyperdome at that time. And I began to just walk and pray in the spirit. That's all I kind of knew what to do. But I was like, man, I got to get my head back under control. You're falling apart, man. Pull yourself together. You're a young, smart, articulate man. Look at you. And I'm walking back, and I couldn't even understand it or how long I went for, but I found myself in Robin's kitchen up the back, and I'm staring at the shelf, and right before my eyes was a little egg timer, and I remember it so clearly because it was made out of stainless steel and glass, and it looked really cool. And then I picked that up, and I bought it. I had no idea what was going on, but I went back to my office, and then I began a practice that I did for many, many, many years ever since then, and even did seminars and gave these and used to sell these and give them to people to be able to do who are in business. I'd take that egg timer, and when I felt a little bit overwhelmed or felt unsure or felt disconnected, I would take my phone off the hook, I'd turn my screen off on my computer, and I'd flip it up. And I'd just take 3 minutes with my Father. And I found myself in the secret place. It doesn't take a long time to be silent and still and remain. So I would. Just 3 minutes. And it changed the whole way I did my life. Because the wrestle wasn't against the principalities and powers. It wasn't against the phone calls and the emails. It wasn't against what people had said or not said. It wasn't against what was done or having to be done. The wrestle was in here. And I needed to surrender this to him. And locate myself in his presence. In Romans chapter 12 verse 1, as the band comes, Paul writes and says, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, I beg you, to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be living and a holy sacrifice, the kind you'll find acceptable. This is truly the way that we worship him, when we surrender ourselves to God fully, spirit, soul, and body. Then he says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, that perfect, that good will, and And I thought about this in the original. I said, you know, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And straight away, I click into work mode and I go, right, I need to renew my mind. And so I have a list of how to renew my mind and the points that are going to renew my mind. I'm going to read Renewing Your Mind books and listen to podcasts on renewing your mind and controlling the mind and bringing the mind into subjection and doing it. And I missed the entire point of what he just said, because it said these words. He said, but let God. You see that? Because I tell you what, I've been in church for a long time, I'd never seen that. But he said, let God transform you, not you. It's not you learning 25 scriptures and going to change the way that you think. It's not going to work. I don't mean to rain on your parade, but all the scriptures that you learn in the world will never change your mind. The way that you change your mind is you have to change your values. Because all your behaviors and all the way that you live flow out of who and what you really are on the inside. And your values have been shaped, whether you realize it or not, by the examples that you've had and set and the decisions that you've made and the inner vows that you've made in different situations. And so it's literally created the person that you are. And sometimes your parents have had values that have really rocked you, and so you've got now opposite values. You may be brought up in a really, really crazy, you know, disciplined and messed up home, and now you could just go, man, we're going to do it differently in our home. We're kicking out the rules. We're just having a party. You know, and other people, whatever it is, you do the same because, they did this, so we do this. But we literally have these vows and these moments that create our lives. And in all of that, listen, in all of that, God says, but I will change you. Let God transform you from the inside out. And I was thinking about this, that God wants me to change me from the inside out in that secret place. And then I thought of the scripture that says that the goodness of God leads men to repentance. In other words, change the direction of our life. That's what it means, literally. Repentance is just a 180 degree turn. That God wants to change the way that you do it. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. And then I thought about the words of Jesus. He said these really simple words as he was walking through life and barely even pausing. He said, come, follow me. He just said, come, follow me. He said, when I pray, you'll see how to pray. When you've seen the Father, when you want to see me, you've seen the Father. When you want to see what generosity looks like, just look at me. That I want you close enough to me. I don't need you to convert to a religion or sign up to a church or do any of these things. They are not the requirement. They are the result. That when you follow me, then you will be like me. So the disciples had this said about them, remember? They were unlearned men. They didn't have the right clothes on. They kind of looked a bit funky. But in 5 minutes of conversation, the Pharisee said, you've been with Jesus, haven't you? Because it's changed who you are. I want to encourage you today. God wants to change you from the inside out, and it's found in that secret place. As we close our eyes and our bow our heads, there's something wonderful to discover in the secret place. You meet God there. Those moments will change your life from the inside out. And I love the way that God does it. So gently, you just become a little bit more like him because you become like those that you hang around the most. Wouldn't it be cool if you started to hang around him so much that people started to notice that you're a lot more like him than you were your friends? So in this place right now, can we just take a moment in this secret place? And if you're visualistic, maybe you can picture it going in and closing the door, and there is you and Jesus sitting on the bed or on the chairs, creating a place in the space. That even in the middle of your busy office or the shopping center when the kids are screaming in the kitchen, that you literally, you know, like Susanna Wesley when Pastor Mel said that, just put that apron up over your head. Boom, you created a secret place. A moment for you to connect with God. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you. Spirit of the living God. We don't need more information. We just need your presence. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Minister. maybe this morning in this place, you'd love some prayer. We've got our ministry team here, and after this service, I'd love you to come down the front. They'll be waiting here up to our yes bar, and we'll be able to pray with you and help you connect with God as well. And maybe just want somebody to stand with you in that place, in that secret place. We don't want you to feel like you're not supported in this house. You are absolutely loved and supported. Perhaps you came out this morning and you don't even have a relationship with Jesus Christ like that. Maybe it's a little bit more like religion than relationship. Or perhaps you've drifted away from God, and that happens. You know, all of us have had those moments, but here you are in this place, and the presence of God is here, and you may not be able to explain it kind of like I said, but you know He's here for you. And in your heart, you can feel Him pulling at you going, it's time to make a decision again for Jesus. I don't want to miss this opportunity, because this is actually all about you. In making that decision for Jesus Christ today, for Him to be your Lord and Savior, to return to Him, to again restore that relationship. He loves you so much. And I want the opportunity to introduce you to Him. And in just a minute, we're going to pray together. And I'd love you to be able to lift your hand up so that I know who I'm praying with this morning as you make that decision to reconnect with God. And you're in this house. And we're going to pray together and see that relationship restored. And it's the beginning of the greatest days of your life. So if that's you in this place, and God has been speaking into your heart, and you want to make a decision for Jesus, to have Him be your Lord and your Savior, or perhaps you're coming back to God, I'd love you to just lift your hand up. I'll see it. You can put it down as we go through and pray together this morning. Right now, if that's you, lift your hand up. Lift your hand up in this house. Don't miss this opportunity. God is speaking to you. God bless you, darling. God bless you. I see that hand as well. Excellent. God bless you, darling. I see that hand. So cool. God bless you. I see that hand. So that is awesome. Praise God. Anybody else? I don't want to miss you. You are too important for God in this house. As I look across one more time, I don't want to miss you. God is speaking to you. Your heart is going crazy. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together, hey? Father, we come into your presence and we're so grateful you're here. Wow. You're here. You're really here. And you love us. You pour out your Spirit in our lives, and even though we should never expect it yet, we feel it. We feel your love flooding through us. We receive you as our Lord and Savior right now in Jesus' name. Come into our hearts and forgive us for being disconnected from you, and help us to reconnect and build relationship with you. And we want to do our part, but we thank you that you do your part. We take one step before you and towards you, and you run into our world. We're so grateful, and we receive you right now in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Can we give it up for those who made a decision this morning? So cool. Hey, just four quick things that I want to share with you on that. If you've made that decision with Jesus, then make sure you tell somebody. You know, you're not meant to do life alone, but just literally by just talking to somebody about it. We've got people up at the Yes Bar who would love to be able to pray with you, get you some resources as well. If you're in this area and you don't have a church, then come to church. Come to this church. Or if you come from somewhere else, you know, again, touch base with us. We'll help you find a great church family to belong to. Pray every day, just like I said. It's a very simple thing. Just talk to God like you would to anybody. Build a relationship with Him and read the Bible. If you want to know the will of God, it's in the Word of God. And if you don't have a Bible, we will get you a Bible so that you don't leave here without that. Amen. Is that cool? Fantastic. I love it. Let's give it up again for those. And I felt I took a little bit of time there. We're just going to switch and change moments and have a generosity moment right now. I'd love to prepare your hearts to be givers in the house. All the different ways you can be involved in giving up on the screen. I'm going to shorten this down so the host team starts to freak out and get the buckets. But I was reading through this, kind of following on from the message. In the Old Testament, I read this, that the commandment and the direction that we're given, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And Matthew and Luke talks about how that's kind of what God is calling us to. But in the New Testament, Jesus said, just follow me. And I thought, wow, like the whole picture has changed. And he was so confident that if he said, if you follow me, I know you'll get generosity. If you follow me, I know that you'll get, you know, hospitality. If you follow me, I know that you'll get faith. Because if you hang around my world, then your world is going to be changed because of my world. And so I would encourage you, if you're struggling with generosity, if you're struggling on what that looks like in your life, can I just ask that you follow Jesus? Can I just ask that you really just pray and seek His face? And I'm so confident that as you follow Jesus, He'll reveal His ways into your world and it'll impact you for the glory of God. Let's pray together right now and then we'll see what else is coming up. Father, we thank You for the generosity of the house. We thank You that we've been blessed so that we can be a blessing, that You provided for us so that we can provide for somebody else. And so today we take up that challenge and we go, yes, I want to be part of that. And I thank You that Your blessing and favor is on my life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. As you give, turn your attention to the screen, see what else is coming up in the life of the church. God bless you.